You're listening to MoneyWeb at Midday.
South Africa, as I understand it, has taken one of its biggest agricultural policy decisions in decades. The Agriculture Minister, John Steenhuisen, says the entire national cattle herd, something around 7 million animals, will now be vaccinated against foot and mouth disease. Now, it's a bold response, I think, to a crisis that has crippled farmers, it's shut export markets and has shaken confidence in our biosecurity system. But obviously it raises enormous questions about capacity, about logistics, about cost and credibility. So let's put some of those questions to Wandile Sihlobo, Chief Economist at AgBiz. Wandile, you've called this, and welcome to you, a courageous policy step, but it's also an admission that South Africa surely has effectively lost control of foot and mouth disease through traditional containment measures.
Yeah, I think the traditional containment measures were experiencing, Jeremy, a lot of challenges for some time, because remember, this is not the first time we are experiencing this foot and mouth disease. We had one of the difficult periods in 2022-23, and right now it seemed to actually be getting at a very tough situation. It does not mean that all is lost, because we could continue on a vaccination path until we get ourselves at such a stage where we can be disease-free. And then at such a stage, then we can even stop vaccination. We have seen Brazil do the same. We have seen Argentina do the same. Mm. But it does indeed, to your point, signify that foot and mouth disease has become a crisis in some corners of South Africa.
7 million animals to vaccinate. What's a realistic timeline for full national coverage?
This is going to take some time, and it will also depend on what collaborations and the phasing strategy that will happen. My sense is that we will lean on the provincial structures that exist, farmer associations that exist, as well as, I would argue, and this is the point I'm yet to raise with the leadership, about making sure that the graduates and the young students that are on the vet side, they get involved in some of this process. My sense is it would probably take a year or and more than this. Because remember, Jeremy, we're not only vaccinating once. You probably need it to run for probably 3 years in order to vaccinate, because in some vaccines, you vaccinate once a year. In some, you vaccinate even as much as three times a year, depending on the potency of that vaccine. So the point is, it will take some time. It's difficult to give the exact time frame.
And while we wait for some kind of clarification, our export market still remains vulnerable in the interim.
Some remain vulnerable in the interim, and some, there will be some arrangements that South Africa will make. And I like the fact that you are raising the exports, because remember, in the beef industry, we earn around $300 million on exports. And of course, now we've been closed off in some countries because of the disease. But I think once we are able to have a common understanding with some markets that we are vaccinating, they may be able to accept the animals as we progress with the vaccination status. And I certainly believe and hope so for those lucrative markets in the Far East, the Middle East and Asia that have been one of our growing area for exports.
Let me ask you a capacity question, technical, financial, operational, just in terms of the production of vaccines at the scale required. Does it exist, or are we risking another state capacity failure?
I think as South Africa, we are now well awake to the challenges of corruption that may erupt. At least that's what I would hope. So at this time around, we don't have our active vaccine that we can put into the market instantly. We will be importing to a range of countries. It may be Turkey, maybe Botswana, and a couple of others. That's the technicalities that we'll be getting into. But as that is ongoing, there will also be work to revive the domestic capacity, which is at the Agricultural Research Council and at OBP, because we once had these capabilities, but they fell into the hands of the state capture, which is when we lost this capacity. But now it's about how do we revive it. Another point that, Jeremy, I'm yet to raise with the leadership at the Department of Agriculture is a need for us to involve private sector more not just in conversation, but also the private labs that can produce to be able to be involved in this discussion so that they can be able to increase the production and help us with the capacity that we need.
If private sector labs that are brought in, are they not going to face regulatory, institutional, or even political barriers?
The regulatory issue is the one that currently blocks some of them now, because it's not so much the scientific capabilities on some, at least that I've been able to go and talk to and see their capabilities. This then it means that on the regulatory side, there is some tweaking that will be necessary. But of course, Jeremy, on this, as you will appreciate and as you rightly framed it in your intro, it's one of the biggest policy steps that we are taking. So learning by doing and adjustments in this process is something that I think will actually be the reality of the day.
And Wandili, how much will vaccinating the national herd cost?
I am hesitant on putting this figure, but it will be on the billions. But I'm hesitant to give you the tentative figure that we are working with.
So let me come at it from another angle. Who's paying then? Is it farmers, the state, or exporters? And does the industry broadly have the money right now?
I think before the announcement, there was some assessment of where the financial situation would look like. And of course, given that some of this is public good, so the government will be doing its share. And upon assessment of those capabilities, there are some of the private sector entities, feedlotters, and others that may perhaps maybe have to be able to do something on their own and buy some of the vaccine. And certainly there are some that have already contributed to some of those efforts. But Jeremy, it's a moving target. There will be a lot of evaluating the pace and the availability of vaccines on various suppliers. And I think the payment arrangement and all of those things will become clearer at that time, which is why, in part, I am hesitant on both of giving you a figure that we are working with, as well as certainty just about how the logistics of this will go. But there is a lot of thinking that has gone through it and is continuously evolving.
And one hopes that proper risk management has been applied ahead of the decision or the announcement, because there are surely unintended consequences, maybe counterfeit vaccines, black market behavior, or even an un or possibly an uneven rollout that leaves pockets of vulnerability within the national herd.
I think the benefit that we have as South Africa is also the fact that we are a country whose agricultural sector has leaned on scientific advancement for quite some time. The productivity that we currently enjoy, to have a sector that is more than double what we had in 1994, speaks to those scientific capabilities. This is all to say then, embarking on issues of this scale in science, while it looks daunting when one looks into it, but I think South Africa does have the capabilities to be able to ensure that we utilize the right vaccines. Of course, I'm not saying everything will be perfect. There may be some challenges here and there, but I think South Africa is well prepared. As to the assessment of the risks, I am confident that the work that the scientific community has done will be able to carry us through. And I will say this, Jeremy, I had calls with a number of major feedlots in South Africa, and they welcome this decision. And they also have their vets, and there are many people that will be able to assist. As per leaving no one behind and ensuring that there's small farmers in certain areas are not left aside, I think there's an incentive for everyone to ensure that if you vaccinate everyone, because if you leave others, then you are creating a risk for yourself in the system. So there is a financial incentive to ensure that you reach every corner.
Wandile Sehlobo is AgBiz's chief economist. Thank you very much indeed.